Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message. Where would I be if not for grace? How many are thankful for His amazing grace? It's so amazing that it covers all of my stuff. I don't know about what your stuff looks like, but my stuff looks nasty. Stress on the A. Nasty. N-double-A-S-T-Y. Nasty. He is the God of the second chance, and His grace is enough. Turn to somebody around you and tell them, say, He's got you covered. He's got you covered. I see a lot of new faces in the house today. It's great to have so many people with us today. Like Amy already said it, us being out of town 1 week, it feels like we've been out a while. But we've taken some time off as needed. One of the things that I shared with the leadership team last January when I stepped into the lead role was our role as pastors is to keep leaders healthy, and their role as leaders is to make sure that I stay healthy. And so thank you so much for allowing us to be able to step away just a little bit. I didn't do that initially back in October. I just felt like I needed to be where I was. But I think it's been very healthy just to take little breaks here and there. But that was the last one, so you got me for the long haul. And the church either says amen or oh me. So 2 weeks ago, oh, let me say, Zach, thank you so much, bro. Y'all give it up one more time for my boy. He is awesome. He's just a 35-minute drive, y'all. I'm just saying, you can always come home. Yes, and the church said amen. Amen. I don't know what that looked like to y'all, but that was a seed. I'm just saying. Seed. You see what I did? Okay, and I'm just playing. So 2 weeks ago, I kicked off this series, or this topic, this talk, on the subject, Can I Get a Restart? Because the truth is, every one of us in this room have found ourselves at a place in life where either life wrecked us or we wrecked life. Come on, somebody. How many know sometimes we're responsible for the accident? Okay. I just tell it like it is. Y'all look there and try to look like y'all got it all together, but Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And the cool thing about God's grace is God's grace affords me and you and I, the opportunity to have a restart. It's the message of the gospel. It's the good news. I said this a couple weeks ago. I've gotten all the bad news that I can take. I need some good news. So therefore, I got to go to the good news book. Amen? If you're tired of hearing bad stuff, we'll turn that stuff off, walk away from those people, and get into God's word, get into His presence. Amen? No matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how jacked up your life is, no matter how bad things have turned out or you've goofed up, you can have a restart. If you're taking notes, write that down. I can have a restart. I can have a do-over. I wanted to come back to this topic again today because there's an important element. So you could call this part two if you want to, and I encourage you to take notes today. I wanted to come back to this topic because there's an element that must be present in the middle of a restart, and it's spelled this way. Are you ready? G-R-O-W-T-H, growth. In order for us to not always frequent the reset button, there has to be growth in the middle of a restart. So I've titled today's talk, Growth in the Restart. Growth in the restart. If you brought your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. If you're tuning in via Facebook Live or podcast, we are honored that you have tuned in today. I was actually given word just a couple weeks ago that, I'm sharing this as you're turning, that Matt Hill's new wife, I just married them a couple weeks ago. Her mother lives in the Netherlands and she watches us live every single week. And I have failed to say hello from America on the other side of the pond, but we're honored that you're here watching today. Now, she doesn't watch live because there's a time difference, but she does watch the replay. And then I got an email the other day. I was just sharing with Amy. I've never seen this before, but we got an email that said we were number 61 in Germany in iTunes for Christian and religion podcasts. Release City Church is number 61 in Germany. In Germany. So, listen, what you see right here what's going on is a lot more than what you just see right here. And I'm not saying that to brag on the church. I'm bragging on Jesus. That just means the message of the gospel, people still crave it. If you want to change. If you want a change, change your appetite. Because what you put in, what comes out. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 3. This is the Passion Translation. It says this, now is the time. Everybody say, right now. Today, July 11th, right? July 11th is the time for us to progress beyond just the basic message of Christ and advance, everybody say advance, advance into perfection. The foundation has already been laid for us to build upon. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the sure foundation. The foundation has already been laid for us to build upon, and this is how we build. Turning away from our dead works to embrace faith in God, teaching about different baptisms, impartation by the laying on of hands. Somebody said, oh my gosh, did he really say that? Does he believe it? Absolutely. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. I believe they're all in operation under protocol, under the way they are designed in the Bible. Okay? Impartation of the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead. Now, we understand that Christ has already been resurrected, but he is still doing a resurrection work today here on earth. I don't know about you. I don't know what you look like, but I look dead before Christ. I may have looked to some people like, oh, he has it all together. But no, without Christ, I was dead. So were you. And then it goes on to say, an eternal judgment. So we've got to turn away from our dead works, embrace faith in God, teaching about different baptisms, impartation of the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So with God's enablement, we will move on to deeper truths. Everybody say his enablement. God's enablement. It's not up to me to get you there. God will enable you once you turn away, embrace faith in God, learn and be taught baptism, impartation, let laying on of hands, and allow the dead things in your life to be resurrected by the one true God. And then we have to face the judgment, eternal judgment. So with God's enablement, we will move on to deeper truths. So last week, Amy and I were able to fly out to California. It was actually a girls' trip for a friend of ours who's really been going through a season of difficulties. Anybody ever been there? Just going through a difficult season. Now, this season for her wasn't just a week or 2 weeks or a couple months. It had been going on for a few years. And so there was a breakthrough, an answer to prayer. How many knows that the answer to prayer doesn't always go the way we think it needs to? But it'll always happen the way God thinks it needs to. And so there was a trip that where they were going to rally around this particular individual who was a friend of ours, and we worked with her and some other people that joined us there. I was just along for the ride to make sure my wife got there safely. That's what Daddy does, because I'm not sending her on a plane to Cali without me. I appreciate that. God, that felt good. Anyway, I just was living in that moment. Y'all thought it was still Zach up here would just cut up like that. Anyway, so I flew out and they stayed in our friend's house, and I just stayed in a hotel and did my thing or whatever. But while we were flying back on Monday, I was thinking about the message that I talked on a couple weeks ago on Can I Get a Restart? And I was thinking, and I was kind of bouncing it off of her, and because I never want to be mistaken as the pastor that's a greasy grace preacher, just, you know, slip and slide grease, you know, live however you want to live, and then just come in to church, hit the reset button, sing a song, put some money in the thing, and then go back out and do your thing. That's not, and because God will cover. No, God loves you, right? And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy, because I don't believe that's Bible. I think some Christians treat, and I told her this in the car, in the rental car, I said, I think some Christians treat grace like a vending machine. They stop by, put a little change in, get something to feed their appetite, and then they go on about their business until the next time they need a fix. Don't get me wrong. Restarts are great. And it's how the grace of God works. But there's growth. Everybody say growth. But there's growth that has to happen in the middle of the restart if we're going to fulfill God's purpose and plan for our lives. I said it this way. A restart without growth is a prequel to a repeat failure. You know, somebody want to write that down. A restart without growth is a prequel to a repeat failure. Everybody say growth in the restart. Now, this is what I want you to wrap your head around just as we dive right in to this talk. A restart isn't just about getting the chance to do something over. It's getting the chance to do something better. That's what a restart is. It's not make my conscience feel okay so I can go back out and do it again, so I can come back and hit the repent button again and go back out and do it again. That's not growth. If you're not growing, you're dying. If we're going to go through it, we might as well grow through it. Everybody say grow. Because it's important that we don't get stuck in a pattern of constantly having to hit the restart button. A restart is an incredible opportunity for you and I to grow. A restart provides an opportunity for you and I to get better. And restarts give you and I the opportunity to become all that God has called us to be and get closer to where God wants us to be. Levi Lusco, who is a pastor that I follow on social media, said, "There's more than enough grace, more than enough mercy, more than enough forgiveness for every time you mess up, and God will always forgive, but do you really want to live in that constant cycle of having to go back again and again and again? Hey, God, messed up last night. I was in the club. Things got a little ratchet. My dance moves weren't on point. But now that I'm here at church, man, here comes the offering. I'll put some money in. Hey, God, can I get a reset?" And you have no intentions of changing your behavior. And don't get me wrong. Christianity is not behavior modification. But when you allow God to do work in you, we'll see it come through you. Amen? Is that the cycle that we want to live in? Or do we want to break the cycle? Do we want to break the cycle? Somebody say break the cycle. How do we break the cycle? How do we break that? I call it the figure eight. How do we break that cycle? We break it by acknowledging that I really need to do better. I need to do better. So let me speak to this misconception that's been going around in the church for a long time. God's not looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to make progress. God's not looking for me to be perfect, but he is looking for progress in my life. So how does progress happen, you ask? Through daily discipline. Daily discipline. There's a pattern of discipline that you and I must have and that we must put into place if we're going to start seeing progress in our lives. So let me give you a couple growth blockers. You can write that down. A couple growth blockers. Blockers. That's a tongue twister. I don't mind. I just called the first one. It's called the figure eight cycle. Many of us are faced there where we're in the middle of our life. We have an accident. We have a wreck. We made a bad decision. We're like a Honda Civic in a ditch. You're not getting out without some help. And we're not calling anybody that drives a Ford because y'all can't help us. I'm just kidding. 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 Got to call somebody with a Chevy. Like a rock. So you're right in the middle. Let me move on because some of y'all are like, this man's dissing on my truck. Hey, bro, if it gets me from point A to point B, I'm down. I'm good, okay? But you're in the middle of life and you wreck. And then all of a sudden, somebody invites you to church. And so you take off and you're at church and you repent and you try to make things right. It's called the figure eight cycle and you feel good. But then life starts moving. You didn't really make any changes. Still hanging out with the same people you were hanging out with, asking God to change some things. But yet you need to make a choice to change what you can change. And then you keep on going, and you're coming back here. That feels real familiar. That was, okay, thank God for helping me through that. And you come back around, all of a sudden, you're right back where you started again. Why? Because you didn't make the choice to make a change. You got stuck in the cycle of what I call figure eight. It's the pattern of humanity. We like consistency, but we don't like change. We want change, but we're not willing to put in the work to get change. I felt that hair just grew an inch. If we're not careful, we'll get trapped in this cycle, and years will go by, and we're still dealing with the same issue. Some of you are here still dealing with the same issue you prayed God to deliver you from a long time ago, but you're still showing up being a part of the things that keeps you bound. Today, I want to help you get stronger. I'm not going to beat you up today. Welcome back, preacher. Yeah, beating us up. No, I'm not that guy. But I am going to tell you the truth. Sometimes the truth stings a little bit. I want to help you get stronger. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says this. It's going to be on the screen for you. So above all, constantly, y'all know this verse? Constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. You want to break the figure eight cycle in your life? You must have daily discipline. I'm going to give you the first one. Here it is. It's what I call the first 15. The first 15 of your day, 5 minutes in worship, 5 minutes in the word, and 5 minutes praying. 15 minutes. That's how easy it was. I woke up this morning and I'm already out here now. And so Amy's like, oh my God, what are you going to say? And I do what you do when you first wake up. I went to the restroom. And on the other side of the wall, I hear, you are Jireh. And I'm like, who turned on Alexa this morning? We ain't nobody been in that other room. You know what Alexa is, where she plays music for you in a little speaker system? I'm freaking out. I'm like, do I walk out of the bathroom? Somebody, we did not turn that on. So I don't know if Dexter walked by and said, elevation worship. I don't know, but... Or maybe it was just the Spirit of God going ahead and putting my 5 minutes, hitting the play button. I don't know. But you need to get, Amy does it. That's one of the first things she'll do. But she wasn't up yet. So I don't know who did it, but somebody did. Anyway, the Holy Ghost is the only ghost that's up in that house. I'm just telling you right now. Ain't no other ghost than the Holy Ghost. Anyway, so first 5 minutes of your day, put on some worship music. If that's not your thing and you don't really know where to start, go to the church Facebook page. We put out there every week. It's put out there exactly what you're going to do, what we're going to sing in here. Tells you the artist who does it, and then you can. So you want to know how to build a playlist? Just 5 minutes. Honestly, that's one song, 4.5 minutes, give or take. Right, and then get into His Word. 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, and then pray. Somebody, I don't know how to do that. Do you know how to talk? Can you talk to me? You talk to me, you talk to your wife, you talk to your kids, talk to God the same way. Probably want to leave out some of them words, though. Okay. But what will happen is 15 minutes will turn into 30 minutes because something about being in the presence of God, you got to have more. If you notice, sometimes we first come out here, the first song, it's eh, but then I'm like a rocket about to explode up here because there's something about being in the presence of God. Where I've got to have more. I need more. And what my spirit understands is my flesh needs change. And it's only going to happen when I get in the presence of God. And then once I get in the presence, under that first 5 minutes, then I need to get into His Word so I can get some instruction for my life. And then I'm going to be, God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this song. And thank you for Jireh. And you're my provider. And God, and today, just be with me at work. Help me to be a light. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what it looks like. Something you need to know about Release City Church is this is not about a religion. This is about a relationship. It's unlike anything, and I was raised in church, PK, I've been to all of them, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Lutheran, non-denominational, cares, I've been to all of them. But this is about a relationship, and I'm not knocking anybody, in any other denomination or non, whatever, I'm just saying, I've been a part of all that, and sometimes you can get your eyes on the mechanics of how they believe and what they're doing instead of actually getting in the presence of God and allow Him to change your heart. So this thing that we're a part of is all about having a relationship with God and building relationships and community with each other. You want to grow in the middle of your restart? Learn to lean in to the presence of God. God will never run out on you. He will never leave you, and He will not forsake you. Even when I made some stupid, jacked up choices in my life, God never turned His back on me. And He'll never turn His back on you. Stay surrendered and stay humble to Him. Listen, God spoke everything I'm talking about you. God spoke everything into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. But the only thing that he did not speak into existence is you and me. He didn't. He created you in his image. He didn't speak you into existence. He created you in his image. This is not a religion. It's an understanding that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, 16 says, so now we draw near freely. Everybody say, draw near. You didn't have to punch a ticket to come in here. Draw near freely and boldly to where grace is enthroned. This is the Passion Translation. I love this. To receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace that we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. I love that. Mercy's kiss. When she kisses me, it's refreshing. Yes, amen. And that's the same thing with his mercy. It's like being it's like being kissed. His grace is refreshing. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the things of the Spirit and not the flesh. So what's so dangerous about living in the figure eight? If we're not growing and experiencing change, eventually we'll get leery of even trying again and we give up. If we don't experience any change and all we do is keep hitting that wall and hitting that wall, what's going to happen is you're just going to give up and stop trying. When all you've got to do is get off the track of the figure eight. It's like an 80s bebop song. Break that figure eight. Y'all remember that skate? You know, maybe you'd be skating, you'd be doing all stuff. Some of the teenagers like, Pastor B, just stop. I told you in part one, thank you. I told you in part one that a single failure is not a final failure. So if you hit the wall and you keep hitting the wall and you keep hitting the wall, just remember what Pastor B said. Break that figure eight. Jump off the track, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more. Yeah. Because what happens is you'll give up. And most of the time, we give up right before our breakthrough. It happens all the time. I give up just before my breakthrough. The enemy actually comes at us harder right because he sees that just on the other side of that wall is the freedom that you need to experience in your life to get to where God has called you to be. So what am I saying? Hang in there. Hang in there. Write this down. You need community and you need relationships. One of the most dangerous things about COVID for God's people was isolation. It was. So let me just stop right there to thank you as a church body for your patience and understanding and trusting me as a leader to make sure that I sheltered and protected you. Because I'm going to be honest, there was no blueprint or playbook for what was going to happen with the church. Dad and I had just transitioned in that January, and 2 months later we had to shut it. I remember calling dad, what do I do? Are you sure you want to hit the reset button and let's do this thing another year, let you kind of get us through this moment? But that's not what happened, because God had other plans. And so we did like everybody else, and we shut down and we made some connections and put it on Facebook Live. But there was something, I mean, that's cool, but y'all know when your dog walks by or somebody, you know, drives by or somebody stops by unexpected or whatever, you just get distracted. And there was just something about not being together. Let me tell you something. When we're not together, I miss community. We're a family, right? And I caught a lot of flack because it was like, well, bless God, if you had faith, you shouldn't have closed them doors. I heard all of it. I heard it from other pastors. And I'm like, oh, God, what's going on? It'd be cool if I could actually saw this happen before and kind of knew how to manage and navigate through, but I didn't know. And so then we actually opened up the doors and we didn't open up kids. I caught flack for that. Well, you ain't got the faith. You should just open up it all. I will always caution on the side of error in protection of the sheep that God has put me over. And I'm not over anybody. I'm just leading. But can I tell you, that we didn't have to close back down when we opened up. Other churches did. In America, other churches had to shut down. I'm just going to, again, don't be, I've never done this. I'm just trying to keep people safe at the same time, making sure that the vast expanse or the gap that was created because we couldn't be together, I had to make sure that we were still pumping the word out so the enemy couldn't come in and snuff you out. And I'm just going to be honest, when we opened up the doors, everybody came back. There was a handful of people that did, and that was fine. Doctors, things, and there was no shame. There was nobody throwing shade. Listen, we're better together. I understand that. And we're coming back. We're coming back, right? In August, our youth ministry's coming back. I've got a lunch appointment with a couple this week, Amy and I do, that want to be a part of the middle school ministry. I mean, there's things happening. Just be patient. Okay? Listen, there's an old saying that says, if you want to go somewhere fast, go alone. But if you want to go somewhere far, go together. Listen, a culture that we've created here is the fact that we choose to do life together. One of our friends out in California that flew down Casey flew from Colorado. She said, so what's happening at the church? What makes it so different? And I said, it's more than just the slogan that every church in America has cloned. We do life together. Literally, we do life together. If you fall in the ditch, I'm jumping in with you. And I'm not, we're watching this. This is what it's all about. So it's community. Everybody say community. One of the cool things about having relationships in community is accountability. But one of the reasons that people leave community is because they don't want accountability. Accountability brings growth. The lack of accountability brings death. Why accountability? Because it gives you the opportunity to speak into my life when you see that I may have slid back into the figure eight and you know what's fixing to happen. And you can say, hey, B, I got you, but can we just step aside? Can we just walk over here? You don't even have to look at me with condemnation and go, hey, you're on the figure eight. You're on the figure eight. You're going to screw up again. You can just say, hey, let's go do this. See, that's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is not about offending you. He is about convicting you, and there is a difference. That's why we must have community and accountability. Another growth blocker is this, the comfort zone. And we got to be careful because you'll fall into the trap. And we don't even realize it's a trap because it feels too good. A comfort zone is super comfortable, but nothing ever grows there. Think about the caterpillar who gets up in that cocoon. And that butterfly, right? He was not comfortable. He had to go through some pressure to come out and flourish like butterflies do. So it's dangerous because we start getting comfortable. It's dangerous because we start getting comfortable in our chains. We don't even recognize that we're bound because our sofa feels too comfortable. You can even get comfortable. I got to try to stay in the picture. You can even get comfortable in church. You can get comfortable with the mechanics of church. Stay with me. You can get comfortable with how you've done church. God is trying to get you outside of your comfort zone. Remember what I said? I was raised in church. I've seen it all. I've seen people drop under the power of the Holy Spirit and the little purple blankets are brought out. Look at me, talent. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've seen all that. But when my eyes are set on the manifestation rather than the master, I've messed up. And let me tell you something. The enemy does not care if you go to a charismatic church or whatever where people go out under the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in that. The enemy does not care as long as your eyes stay on the manifestation and off the master, because the manifestation will not change you. Only the master can do that. I know. I'm stirring up some of religious devils who are like, you're messing with my foundation. No, I'm not. What the enemy is trying to do is get you to see that your foundation is this, that it's not. He is your foundation, and he laid it down. He laid down his life so you can build upon the knowledge of who he is and who you are because of him, Jesus Christ. Sorry, not sorry. Because I've been a part of that stuff. Say, God is trying to get you out of an uncomfortable place, and you can get comfortable in how things have always been, but God is trying to say, I'm doing a new thing. Listen, I don't want to get stuck in the comfort zone. Sorry, Zach, I'm probably real too loud for that baby. Maybe we need to invest in them earmuffs like the hires kids have, and we could pass them out. I'm sure probably there's an adult in the back going, yeah, can I get one of them too? Listen, comfort zones look different on everyone. You can get comfortable in church and still not grow. A comfort zone can be a style of ministry that you're used to. What is? Listen. The comfort zone will rob you of your greatest years and rob you of your greatest potential.
That's true.
Paul is a man who broke outside of what was comfortable. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Message Translation says this. I'm not saying that I have all this together. I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Let me tell you something. This pastor will not turn back. I have opportunities to walk away just like you do from things. And I'm not talking about things we need to be walking away from. I'm talking about the things that we don't, the things that God wants to do in your life. When it gets a little tough, we like to run. God is calling us outside of our comfort zone. Because if I had already known what coat, man, it's so hot in here. It's probably these things. If I had already known the blueprint for COVID, guess what would have happened? I would have not come around in February and trusted God because I already knew. I already watched somebody else walk it out. He's calling us to get uncomfortable. He wants to know, will you follow my voice? You may not always see him, but the Father says, and his word says, my sheep know my voice, and he's the great shepherd. So I may not have known, but I knew him. I may not have known what it looked like, but I knew his voice. So, four ways to focus on growing in the restart, and I'm done. I know some of y'all are like, you've been gone for a week. Does that mean you're going to preach and hold us till 12:30? No, that's not me either. Don't do that. Amen. I receive that. Number one, remember there is new strength. This is how you focus on growing in the restart. Remember there is new strength. Isaiah 40 verses 30 and 31, NLT version says this, even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. I just said it. We went into COVID, and I was just trusting him. Do we stay closed? Do we open the doors? Do we wide open, youth, midweek, everything? Do we just open it back up? I totally relied on God. I didn't just pull decisions out of my... So you want to grow in the middle of your restart? Start tapping into the new strength. Oh, but for those who trust in the Lord, you will find new strength. For those who trust in the Lord, you will find new strength. You want to grow in the middle of a restart? Tap into the new strength. Number two, tell your story. This is how you focus on growing. Tell your story. Revelation 12:11 says this: they conquered him, who? The enemy, completely through the blood. Not a little bit. Not, you didn't just knock him down. You defeated the enemy completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. There's a mindset in the church that says, shh, don't tell them that you're going through it. Why not? Because somebody needs to hear your story. That's why I've been so transparent about what I was going, what Josh and Brittany and I, what we've gone through in the loss. I've wanted to be very transparent. Because if I tried to hold it all together and I don't have it together, I'm using strength to present to you something that's not true. And if anything, I'm hoping that my strength is creating strength for you for the things that you're facing. Amen. They conquered him, the devil, completely by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. All of us have been called into ministry. Yours may not be a microphone on a platform, but there's marketplace ministry. Listen, every single person that you come into contact with is connected to you, and every person that you're connected to needs to hear your story. Sometimes you don't have to tell them, just live it. You may be the only Jesus they ever seen. That's not a new slogan, but you may be it. There's an old hymn. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And your story may not look like my story, but stories are powerful. So remember that you have new strength. Remember to tell your story. Number three, receive God's great grace. I don't think Frances is in here, but I thought of her as soon as... Great grace. Acts 4:33, the apostles gave powerful testimonies about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great measures of grace rested upon them. They were going around bragging of all that, and boasting all that God had done in their life. God wants to pour out great grace on your life today. And lastly, in closing, number four, walk in renewed power. Walk in renewed power. Maybe you're here today, you don't feel like you deserve a restart. Listen, God specializes in taking broken people and using them to build his kingdom. You bring that down just a little bit. God specializes in taking people like you and people like me. I got a story. I got parts of my story that I'd have to put a disclaimer on. A maturity disclaimer. Y'all thought I was just kidding about my past. It looks just like yours. It's nasty. But God specializes in taking nastiness and cleaning it up. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yeah. God is not looking for you and I to be perfect, but he's looking for our heart. And all he wants is your yes. Will you say yes to him? With every head bowed and every eye closed. God is the master of the restart. And today, God wants to give you a restart, and he wants to give you new strength, great grace, and renewed power. And today, God wants you to grow, and I believe that the word of God that has been spoken over your life will point you in the direction of growth. You can look back up at me. Nathan Hey, come here, buddy, with that, with your phone. And every Sunday, this actually should have fit in the part of the message, and I forgot because it came to me this morning. Yeah, come all the way up. And so we always meet before service and do a full service run through, and then Tama brings a nugget. And so she walked in, and I said, "What you got for us today?" And she said, "Actually, Nathan's got something, so I want him to share what he shared with us today." Remember, this is dealing with community and what we have in this room and what we're supposed to do with community and how we're supposed to treat community.
Okay, so I have a verse, Matthew 20:28. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." To me, that means we need to serve like Jesus did and not be selfish. And yeah.
Say that again.
We need to serve others and not serve ourselves.
It's so easy to serve others when you get outside of your comfort zone. But when you sit in your comfort zone, it's only natural to be served. Think about when you're on your couch. "Honey, can you bring me something to drink? Can you bring me a Pepsi throwback?" But if I'm already up walking through the house and I'm going to get me something, what do I say? Hey, babe, you want something? I'm coming to the fridge. The couch was my comfort zone. I didn't want to get up and walk. And so, y'all give it up for my bro right here. Great job. You're good. Thank you. So that spurred in that moment what community should look like when we come in here. And so Tama Jo said, "So what do," because it was just leaders up here, and she said, "So what do people see in us when they come to church?" And I was like, "Wow. Do they see us serving ourselves or serving others?" And then the Holy Spirit dropped this on me. He said, "Do they see you with a towel ready to serve or a plate ready to consume?" How do you come to church? Do you come with a towel or a plate? We as a ministry, for all of the years, with Dad as the pastor, up until today, up until COVID, we serve our community. We host the largest community, not Release City Church, community Easter egg hunt in the Tri-County area. Every year, up until COVID, we serve. We serve. At Christmas, we load up as many teddy bears and tag them with "Jesus loves you" and bicycles for kids who were only coming to a parade to get candy. We serve. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. We're still about the mission. It's time for us to ditch the plate and pick up a towel. So let me pray for you. Everybody standing as the worship team comes. Father, I thank you for your word today. Father, I thank you that it is transferable and transformable. And God, we have seen today a picture more clearly of who you are. And God, we want to, in our community, God, we want to pick up towels and we want to ditch the plate. It is better to give than to receive. And God, we want to be receivers. And God, every person here in this room and watching online and listening by podcast, Father, I thank you that your word will not return void. And God, that something would stir in them, that growth would begin to happen, that we kicked over some dirt and made it loose. Your word says, break up the fallow ground. The fallow ground, Father, we break up the hardness and the things that we've attached ourselves to in the comfort zone, God. We want to grow. And if that calls for us to move outside of our comfort zone, God, stretch us for more. Enlarge our territory. And we'll be so quick to give you all the honor and all the praise and to point people to you. For you alone are worthy. You're a great God. Thank you for what you did in this place today. If you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, I need to make Jesus my personal Lord and Savior. I need Him to come in and give me a restart right now. Today is my restart, and I'm growing today. Matter of fact, I'm going to grow just based on this decision right here. Pastor B, will you just pray for me? If you'll just lift your hand up all over this room. Anybody says, I need to make Jesus my Lord. I need to hit reset and restart today. There's hands up all over this room. And so we're going to pray this prayer together loudly, not because God's hard of hearing, but because the devil's hard of hearing. And he needs to know that growth starts today and death ends. The assignment on your life to get you back on the figure eight cycle, that is broken today. In the name of Jesus, let's pray this loud and clearly. Oh God, I come before you today confessing my sins. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I believe that your only son Jesus died for me on the cross at Calvary. I believe that he shed his blood to cover all my mistakes. And I believe that he rose again, conquering sin, conquering death, and conquering the devil. And today, I'm set free. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. A spirit to follow you and to say goodbye to the plate. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Let me give God praise.
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and his hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.